Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, welcome to The Guinea Pig. I'm Dr. Maryam Zamani, an oculoplastic surgeon and aesthetic doctor.
And I'm Fiona Golfer, a writer and journalist. I'm no stranger to a cosmetic procedure, and I'm willing to try pretty much anything.
Which is why I'm here, to make sure Fiona and anyone else that's out there considering a treatment to help make a better informed decision safely and to try and collect as much information as they can.
Every fortnight, this podcast comes to you from Maryam's clinic in Chelsea. If you're looking for an honest, no-holds-barred approach to invasive and non-invasive cosmetic surgery,
then The Guinea Pig is here to help you.
Hi, everybody. And today's episode is a really fascinating one, actually. We're here with Joanna Bridger, who is a journalist, who I met when I was basically sucking up to you to try and get a commission. And we met for lunch. We'd spoken across email for a while, and we decided to meet for lunch. And Joanna has got a... You've got a...
Cleft lip and palate.
Cleft lip and palate, which I didn't really notice at first at lunch. You've got an incredibly pretty face and very pretty full lips and beautiful big eyes. And we were chatting away, and a very strong personality. And I didn't really notice until you brought up that you had had a cleft palate, which you have had treated when you were 17, I think you told me.
Yeah, so the initial operation is when I was a baby.
Right.
And then you have a couple of follow-up operations. And then I had my last surgery when I was 18 on my scar on my lip. They tried to sort of readjust it and realign it a little bit, because obviously it was last stitched when I was 18 years previously. So you grow. So they try and make it look a bit better.
And had you always been sort of uncomfortable with it? Have you always been very sort of overly aware of your face?
I think, yeah, I'm definitely aware of it. My parents were brilliant as I was growing up, and I wasn't horribly bullied. I was with Great Ormond Street my whole life, and they put you through a lot of sort of, you have lots of things available, counselling and all sorts, and they almost prepare you for the worst. But I was very lucky. I had a very good group of friends at school. I do get asked about it sometimes. A few kids would say something when I was little, but nothing terrible. But just as I've got older and the industry that I am in, I know what's available, and I know the things that can be done. And so I was always aware that I could, but not willing to put myself forward for it, maybe, until you.
Me.
Very persuasive.
That's me. One of the things that you do is you commission an awful lot of beauty pieces.
Yes, definitely.
So you know about what's out there. You know about all the kind of new techniques. You know about sort of what's on offer. And I know that you've been doing research, because you told me, into looking to... How would you describe what you're looking to do? Sort of soften?
Yeah, everyone knows your face is not meant to be symmetrical. And that's something that, you just need to accept. But my face, because of my cleft lip, my nose and my lip especially were very unsymmetrical, and I knew that there were things you could do with filler to maybe balance it out a bit better.
So you have a scar that runs up essentially from the top of your lip up into the side of your nose, the left hand side of your nose.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And what happened when we met was that we got on very well immediately, I'd like to think. And
yes.
And you started to tell me about the operations that you'd had and what you were hoping to achieve really now.
Mm.
And I said, get thee to Maryam as soon as possible. About 20 minutes later, you and Maryam were in conversation. And you were in here with Maryam a week later, I think.
Pretty much, yes.
Tell us a little bit about why suddenly then, and why, and what, why did you decide?
You were persuasive.
No, but I know I'm persuasive, but if you go out and throw yourself under a bus, you might not.
That's true. Maybe I wouldn't know. I think it was just the right time for me. I'm turning 30 tomorrow, in fact, and I thought,
happy birthday early.
Thank you. And it's I'm very willing. I think someone who's had operations in their life, and it was always you knew when you're cleft lip and you're with Great Ormond Street, there is a procedure. There is every sort of few years they know what they're doing. It's an absolute procedure. So I knew, for example, when I was 16, 17, I was due a jaw operation that they advise you to take a gap year for, and it's set. It's like almost like a diary. You've got this schedule waiting for you. And so I always knew, and it was just something I knew I was going to have my jaw done. So I had my jaw broken, moved back. I also at the time had cheek implants, because one side of being a cleft lip patient is you do have a very flat face, which is what I wanted to fix lip wise this time. So I knew that I'd had all of this done, and so I'm not necessarily a scaredy cat. I'm also a bit of a guinea pig. I'm willing to do it. And turning 30, I thought, why not? Maybe let's see what we could do with my lip.
Before we go on to that, I'm just going to ask you one last question before we bring our complete genius expert in. Will you just explain to the listeners exactly what having a cleft lip means? When you're born with a cleft lip, what is that?
So basically, when you're a baby in your mother's tummy, one of the last things to fuse together as a fetus is your palate and your lip, like under your nose, the filtering part of your lip between your lip and your nose. And so being cleft lip means that just doesn't form for whatever reason. I don't think we know why. And so when I was born, it was completely wide open. And at the time, this is 30 years ago now, they fixed it immediately. So you go into surgery, you have it sewn up. My palate was filled and you carry on as normal, basically. I think they've actually changed it now, and they've realised that doing it that early stunts the growth of the jaw, which is why I had my jaw operation when I was 18. And I think now they do it much later, so it doesn't stunt the growth of the jaw. But yeah, so then I grew up from then on with a scar, a hole in my, like, just above my gum where my lip meets my gum, which was fixed when I was 11. And yeah, that's basically it.
Fascinating. I have to admit to always finding men who've had cleft palates quite sexy. I don't know what that means about me.
It's more common in men. And men are luckier because they can hide it with their beard.
He's the poster boy for the cleft palate. So you came to meet Marianne. Marianne, what did you tell us about that meeting?
Well, actually, you know, funny enough, the reason I ended up going to medicine was not because I was forced to go into medicine because of my parents, but the reason I ended up going down the plastics or cosmetic route was actually while I was in medical school, I was fortunate enough to be involved with something called Operation Smile, which was created, if I'm not mistaken, by a dentist in Norfolk, Virginia, in America. And his son-in-law was a year above me in medical school in D.C. And he was doing a bike ride, and he said, why don't you, you know, join and do this bike ride? And I raised a bit of money doing this bike ride, and I raised quite a bit, and they offered me to go to Thailand to help them with one of their missions. And it was in that mission that I was like, totally like, wow, I can't even believe. I thought all those surgeons who were operating were gods. I thought they were like amazing. People walked, I mean, for days and weeks. And, you know, just when you hear about it in stories, it actually happened. We had hundreds of people coming to have surgery done, to have their lips repaired. And then we were also, I was only a medical student, but the surgeons at that time were also teaching their own doctors within this little village how to treat these patients. And also they left the medical equipment there, anything. Johnson & Johnson was a huge sponsor. I remember seeing lots of their products there, and I think they gave a bunch of it just for them to be able to support it on their own without having, you know, the Western doctors there too.
So that's where you got your... That's because you were so excited when I told you about
Jan. Yeah, no, I did, because actually it's quite interesting, because then I didn't end up going through plastic surgery and I went to do facial plastics, a different route. I obviously don't do cleft lip palates. I've never done one. But I feel like I started down that route because of that experience that really impacted me for so long. So actually and I'm still, I mean, I haven't been involved with them in a long time, but I mentioned them in a comment on my Instagram recently because someone asked me, I had somehow found it on Google somehow. And I looked up some pictures and I just actually put it on my story on Instagram, and Operation Smile got back in touch with me, and they were like, that's so nice. You know, and I just thought that was so warm and fuzzy, you know, just because now it's a very big organization. Yeah, I think it was
quite
small.
Those charities are so important as well.
Of course they are.
They're so important, yeah.
But when you came to see me, your biggest concern was when you said that you look on the profile, you can always tell who's had a cleft lip because that upper white lip is flat. And that's because the volume of the lip has changed or reconstruction or, you know, whatever the reason for lots of different reasons. But it's not as well defined as it would be in someone who didn't have a cleft lip. And that was your biggest concern. You were also very nervous.
I was.
Which is normal.
Yeah.
She's wringing her fingers now.
Is she? Oh, no.
She's wringing her fingers. Can I hold your hand?
I can't get away with anything.
I know, she's very observant, this one. So we decided, and your mom came too, which was very sweet. Yeah. And we did very little. So, you know, we talked about doing it in stages because obviously anybody who's had any sort of surgery and has any injectables afterwards, the anatomy is obviously a little bit different than somebody who hasn't had surgery and hasn't had, you know, scarring. So I always, my ethos always is to do a little bit, see how it goes. And if we need to pause or go back, we can do that. So we put a little bit of numbing cream and you explained what really bothered you the most. And we added a very small amount of volume to the upper lip, a little bit to the lower one too, and also into the philtrum to try and equalize that. And that's basically that line that goes from the nose down to the lip. And we went through all the normal things that lips can swell.
And they did.
And they can be scary swollen because you think your lips are going to stay like that, but they don't. And I do try to give people peace of mind that it will go down, but it's kind of scary in the moment sometimes to think, oh my God, how is it possibly going to go down? But it did.
So you got home with it and your lips swelled and you panicked?
No, so I was okay. So I was very prepared walking out of here. I got home and it was actually fine. I had it done late in the afternoon. So when I got home, absolutely fine. As I went to bed and laid down, I could just start feeling going. And because I have a scar, any disruption to that area feels even more alien. Everyone knows what it's like when you have a swelling and it feels really weird. But add a scar into that and it does feel like that whole area is under pressure and you think, God, that feels weird. And I could just feel it getting bigger and bigger and bigger as I was going to sleep. And then the next morning, I was looking back on pictures, not even that bad. But to me in the mirror, it was quite bad. And my advice to anyone going through this is, in today's world, it's so fillers and these kind of procedures are so normal and commonplace, or we've made them be that way because it seems like every other person is having it, especially on television, famous people, whatever it may be. And because I'd had surgery in the past, I kind of went into this thinking, much far, far, far better than surgery, like less recovery time. I knew you told me I could go back to work the next day. I thought, absolutely fine. And so I just wasn't prepared for the small bit of downtime that I needed. As somebody who, although I'd had operations, I hadn't had anything like this before. And I just, when I saw myself in the mirror the next day, I wouldn't have wanted to be in work. I only needed a day and that was all it took. And then it was pretty much back to normal.
Did you go to work the next day?
So I had 2 days off. I worked from home. Cool. And then I went, and looking back now, I was still a little bit swollen on that third day, but absolutely fine. Nobody noticed. You're pretty much back to normal. And so I would say it's nothing to be scared of, but you do need to go into it
knowing that that can happen.
It doesn't
actually happen to everybody. So I always tell people you could actually have had filler 10 times and never had swelling. And then the 11th time, all of a sudden you really have significant swelling where you're like, oh my gosh, what happened to me?
Yeah.
So we don't know why that happens sometimes, but it's one of those things. Just because you had swelling once doesn't necessarily mean that you will have swelling
really
next time too.
Yeah. But I just think as long as you're mentally ready for that, then if it doesn't happen, brilliant. And if it does, your doctor, you should know it goes away. But it's just being mentally prepared for that to happen. So you're ready when it happens.
And you were saying Marianne was on the end of a phone.
Absolutely. That was the best thing in the world to be able to I text you a picture. You came straight back to me and said, you're absolutely fine. Sorry you're swollen. Take an antihistamine. And that was it. And it was... And
I'm going to get you a t-shirt, actually, that says take an antihistamine.
Or a Claritin or something.
So funny.
And
I had my mum in here with me too, who had listened to everything that you had said. So she was also with me saying, we heard everything. We knew this was going to happen. It's fine. But it's just that little bit of reassurance. Sometimes that's what it takes. You just want to know that you're normal. You just want to know that this is meant to happen and it's going to be fine. And that's all it took.
And that was your first, you've had your second treatment now, I think, with Maya.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we did a good job in creating a profile and adding a little bit of volume to the lip and then also creating a philtrum. But after the first one, we knew we wanted to maybe widen the smile just a little bit because I didn't want to do too much at that first session.
Is this where you say widen the smile? Are you talking about the kind of corners of the...
No, so instead of being more like, to having a larger, wider smile, basically.
Okay.
So, like, sometimes people can feel very condensed in that central area.
Okay.
And this is just to
fill it out a bit.
Fill it out on the edges. Yes, in the corner. Not quite the corners of the lip, but on the lateral lip border, basically.
I found when I looked in the mirror the first time that we did it, because my lips looked bigger this way, I felt like they looked far, like really narrow because the volume had gone that way. And so I felt we just needed to balance it out a little bit.
And also
make the vertical height not stand out so much compared to the horizontal.
Exactly,
The reason that I remember thinking, oh, come see Mariam, was because when I met you, your lips were not, they were sort of, there were little bumps. And I remember thinking across.
Oh, in the lower bit of the lip.
And
the fleshy
bit,
part of,
yes,
the fleshy
in
part
the
of
fleshy
the lip.
Part of the lip.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, Mariam can even that out for you. I know you can, I kept thinking about the hydrating.
Yes.
I mean, I'm coming at it from complete kind of, you know.
A different perspective.
What do I know?
Kind of, you know, a
perspective.
Lot.
But I just remember thinking you could smooth that out and that would make such a difference to you. And I can see, even though I know you've had a treatment recently, I can see that that's happened.
It has.
And that
she has some smiling now, too.
Yeah, I'm still smiling.
Bit, so,
yeah. She had it, last night we did a little bit more.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So actually, I think the lips are, I think they look good. They'll last between, you know, it's meant to last about a year. It could last a little bit longer. Do you need to upkeep it? No. If you didn't upkeep it, it would gradually go back to how it was. People are always worried that, you know, what happens if you stretch? I haven't put that much product in there. So if I used many syringes of hyaluronic acid and really inflated the lips, I didn't actually try to inflate the lips. I was just trying to even the lips out as opposed to make something different than what you had. And the other thing that we discussed was this very thin, she has a beautiful scar, but it does interrupt that border of the lip, the vermilion border. And if at a later time that bothers you, you could always have, you know, like a little medical tattoo just of skin color or pigmentation just to blend that in, even on this, the scar going up to the nose as well.
What's this part of the lip?
I'm
thinking at the filtrum is the bit that leads from the top of the lip to the nose. And that's what Mariam's raised a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. She's kind of created a fake one. You don't have it really as a cleft lip patient because your scar's there.
Yeah.
You don't naturally get that.
It looks amazing.
And that's, I've sort of got a line of filler there and a line of filler there. That's why, from my profile, and that's when in real life, friends who didn't know I was necessarily having it done, when they've caught me on a profile, they've said, "What if, do you look a bit different?" And that's what they've twigged, because that's what's, it just looks more normal.
And it doesn't look like, because the funny thing is, a lot of women I know who don't have this, they put in so much on the top lip that it almost takes that philtrum away.
They take it away. It looks puffy.
Yeah.
That's a very unattractive look.
It's really not.
They do that to try and fill in vertical smoker's lines or like the barcodes. But then when you put too much in, it actually turns the mouth inwards, first of all, and then it just makes that white upper lip very thick, which is unattractive in my opinion.
I got a bit of a shock. I didn't never know what I meant to say to my friends who sort of say
ignore.
Hello, and I'm just kind of gazing at them thinking, why?
God, if someone who's recently had something done, just don't say anything.
Let them say. No, I was a bit kind of, hello.
Well, that could have just been swelling too. You never know.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, that wasn't swelling.
And then the other thing that we discussed was to do a little bit for the nose, just to align the nose a little bit, which we did do. And I wanted to bring to attention is that sometimes, and we did discuss this too, so anytime that you've had any sort of surgery done and then you have injectables, you always have to worry about the vascular supply to that area because it's different than someone who has had no work done to it. And, you know, small amounts of filler can sometimes like squeeze a blood vessel that it supplies blood to certain areas and therefore cut off circulation, which obviously we don't want to have happen. And that's why it's really important to do small quantities and to make sure that you have somebody who recognizes if something is not right, because oftentimes things that go wrong look like a bruise and it looks like a purple mottling discoloration type of thing that if you're not sure, you're not experienced in having injectables done, or the person injecting you doesn't have experience in injecting, they might just be like, oh, that's just a little bruise, it'll go away, and actually can be something much worse. And so knowing that, we still injected a small amount of filler into the nose, and we did get a little bit of modeling, and to be on the safe side, we removed the bits that were put in the nose, and we'll re-inject it later once we, you know, we can always go back and put little small amounts in. So
was
I think
that
that's
to do with
very,
the amount that you put in? So
no, not necessarily. Well, we did do a very small amount. I mean, so if I say in the lips we used 1 mL, in that nose area we used like 0.2 mL. Okay. So very small amount within the whole nose type of area.
I wish you could have seen. It looked so much better. It made me realize that I'm actually very self-conscious of my nose, and seeing it, I thought, God, it's really made a difference. Really
and
did.
And then I had to dissolve it. Well, that's the other important thing to note too, is that we've used a filler, Juvederm. I used Volift in both of the areas. And the beauty of using this hyaluronic acid is that it's hyaluronic acid, and there is an enzyme called hyaluronidase that can immediately dissolve filler when it's injected on top of it. So I just think that it's always important to know that one, there are potential complications, and two, there's recourse and there are things that you can do. If you had a permanent filler, for instance, or a semi-permanent filler that was not hyaluronic acid, it would there would be no recourse. We would have had to wait it out and see what happened. And that's not, that would have given me a heart attack.
You'll
forget
now
about
pause,
you.
You'll pause and go back and have
We'll pause, see, once it's totally, you know, fine again, maybe in another week or 10 days, we can always go back and do even half of that and then just do baby steps to try.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting.
I want to come and watch next time. You shall go to the ball.
You can hold hands.
You'll see my eyes water.
But I can't tell you the difference.
It wasn't that bad.
It's the nose painful because of the scar tissue.
I just think... it's not a place that you've ever like hurt yourself generally, you know? So I put filler in my own nose, so I know that sensation, and I just think it's eye watering.
It is, but it does. It's a senses thing. It makes your eyes water. You have 2 seconds of ouch and then it goes. Yeah.
Well, we saw you do it on Molly.
Yes.
Didn't we?
But that's painful.
Marianne filled my daughter's nose.
Was she okay?
Because she's got a hook nose. Well, I think she wanted it so badly. I think sometimes the desire overcomes all
well,
of the pain.
Me.
And I think...
I'm just like, just get on with it. Let's just get on put with it in.
And then also sometimes I think I scare people so much. I'm like, it's going to be really painful, you know.
That's quite nice. Forewarned is better. And even yesterday when things didn't quite go to plan, cool as a cucumber, let's get it out. It's just brilliant. It was seamless. You don't lay here panicking, which I think for listeners it might sound like, God, it went wrong, what the hell, but it's absolutely fine. You reacted straight away and it was done, it was gone, and I was sad. I was like, it looked good.
I know you're like, but can we keep, is it all gonna go away?
Is it all gonna go?
But we can go back and go through that again. It's not really a problem. But again, that's what I mean, like knowing that there was potentially something not right is, if you had gone home, you know, it's 6:30 in the
Absolutely.
evening, which is when we injected, then you know it would have been very different in the morning.
And going into it knowing that it can be reversed and it can be dissolved is, especially for a first timer, that's so good too, because if the worst happens, it's not permanent.
No.
And that's really like comforting thing to know.
Well, that was important when she was swollen. She's like, oh my God, it's so swollen, what am I going to do? And I was like, don't worry, it's going to go down, but if we need to, we can always remove anything.
But that, yeah, that swelling, it is just a reaction because, what is it, because you've had a needle injected in
so
you?
So it's a different reason. So when I did your lips, I used a very small insulin type syringe. So it's a 32 gauge needle, which no one listening will understand, but it's a very small, thin needle. But because it's very small, there's only so much hyaluronic acid that can be placed into that syringe. And so whereas sometimes people use a bigger needle and a bigger syringe and have less injection points, I have multiple injection points, but I also did that also because there was a scar there. And then secondly, sometimes people have a reaction to the lidocaine or the numbing agent that's inside of the filler. So Juvederm Volift is mixed with a little bit of lidocaine, and lidocaine is a thing that makes lips numb, and you know, you feel numb for about a half an hour after treatment, but that can also elicit a little bit of a reaction. And also people have it in their face too when they have it done, but the difference is that the lips are a confined structure. So if you have a little bit of swelling, it looks like a lot. Whereas if you have a little swelling and you've done it in your cheeks or your chin or your hands, you don't really, it doesn't really make much impact, but the lips can be very impactful.
Yeah. And also because you're talking, you're eating, you know, like technically this time my nose is swollen, but I wouldn't notice that half as much. But because it's your lips and you're moving, like when you go to the dentist, you're just so aware of it until it goes away, basically.
Because of your history and your operations and the kind of focus on your face that you've had over the years, how have you grown up and working in the world that you do, and you work in a very male...
I do, yeah.
...strong office, but also your focus is on beauty and women's issues. How has your relationship with the idea of tweakments for yourself been?
I am actually very relaxed to it. I mean, I would be a complete hypocrite if I judged anyone for having anything, because I have sent so many, as a commissioning editor, I have sent so many journalists to have things done, and I'm always that sort of person, like you are now, waiting for the befores and afters and how are you and what's it feel like.
Have you done to yourself?
But I haven't done it to myself, no. So this is the first, I mean, technically the things, I have had cosmetic procedures with my surgeries, but as explained earlier, that has been a medical plan.
Yes.
Whereas this is something completely aesthetic that I've chosen to do for myself.
I think this could be considered medical, to be fair. I mean, I think that there's cosmetic for just aesthetic reasons, but there's also, you know, the fact that you didn't have a philtrum or, you know, having a like if you were to have a rhinoplasty, I would still consider that medical because you've had injury and you're trying to improve a structure that is not as it would have been if you didn't have the cleft lip. So,
I've certainly never seen you so excited. At the prospect, it was interesting.
Yeah, no,
because Mariam was really lit up at the idea of being able to do just these tiny, tiny, what other people call tweaks, and all the things that we discuss here on the show. But it's made
for something real, like
so
you know,
real.
Something
not just I want my lips bigger.
Not just I want
I
my
can
lips
imagine
bigger.
That. Yeah.
And so I think we both got such a sense. We've both been thrilled about you. You're like,
yes.
It's very liberating
Project
that things like this are available, and that you can,
and
it's an option, and you can. And I think when all this swelling goes down, and especially if I can have my nose done again, in this what is a significant time in my life, just in terms of age and everything, like it is wonderful that this can be done, and it does make me feel better, and it hopefully will give me more confidence. And it's having had this done, I did have to tell my editor, my manager, that I needed a couple of days just to get over the swelling. And he sort of was cleft lip. And as men are, as managers are, it was a whole level of madness of him feeling awkward and not knowing what to say to me. He kind of said, I don't know. You never know. People aren't necessarily honest, but he was quite surprised. But my main thing when I walked in on this, that first day, I go into lots of meetings with middle-aged men. And although I do write about beauty, it's not an aesthetic world at all. Everyone's in suits and everyone sits there and you talk about the news agenda of the day. And I just didn't want to walk into a meeting one day with a completely blown up face or whatever, all these horrible stereotypes that you hear about, the scare stories. And I remember you saying to me, nobody will know, it's for you. It's just for you. And that's so important that it was. And my mum was like, I notice because I look at you every other day or whenever I see you, and you're my child, but not everyone is going to know. You just look better. You look well.
Yes.
You do, and you look so happy, I have to say. It's really nice. It's so nice to see somebody so... really look lit up by the fact that you've done this and that you feel...
Makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Well, it does make us all feel a bit warm and fuzzy because I think it's very... No, it's great. It's great that, you know, all this stuff we talked about, it can be used for something that's really proper and serious. And
well, that's actually how I started using hyaluronic acid. So I never had the training in America because it was very quite new when I was doing my training. But I moved here and I was doing a fellowship with Jane Olver, who is a very well-esteemed oculoplastic surgeon. And she was doing some research on hyaluronic acid. And I sort of went on to write a couple papers about it, using it for patients who had different cancers or trauma around their eyes and just couldn't have any more, just didn't want to have more surgery. Surgery was really involving just to help volumize that area. And that's actually how I first started using filler. So I never had real, you know, you don't learn much of the aesthetic cosmetic in actual medical training because it's more about the medical. And in the research that I did in the UK, that's where I came across, and that's where it all started.
That's very exciting. So Joe, how many more times will you be coming to see Mariam? Just the nose?
So I'd like to probably do 2 or 3 sessions for the nose. I'd probably break it up just because we did have this, you know, potential issue, and I would do less, and maybe I would do, you know, the nostril, like the different areas. I'd segment it and do it different areas at a time. It's just, you also want to, as you're doing it, you can see the change in it. You know, you just have to say, okay, enough for this time, and then go next time. But we did use small amounts, and so I feel like we could do it, you know, anytime after a week. We would probably do it every 10 days. So okay, whatever works for you.
And for those people out there who are thinking about maybe having this kind of a treatment done to them, let's talk about costs.
Pricing.
Yeah.
So generally it's by vial of filler that's done. So everybody has a different price set. For my price, Juvederm Volif for a syringe would be £800 pounds. And that would have been enough for the lips. That's basically what I did for the lips. And I probably wouldn't use a whole syringe on the nose anyway. I think like with a half a syringe, we could probably have a really good result. So not too much product. I don't necessarily think, you know, the other thing is people always worry that the nose or the lips are going to look really big, but actually that's a very small amount of product that's going in. So, but it is expensive. So,
well,
sorry.
I think it's worth every penny because I think you look amazing. So that just leaves us to say thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. It's very brave to come in and talk about
it, by the way.
Okay. I think it's amazing, and what you've done is great. I'm so pleased we met for that lunch.
I know.
I know, me too.
I'm thrilled.
Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you very much.
What would happen if we had dinner next time? Thanks so much, everybody, for listening, and you'll hear us again next week. In the meantime, have a look at our Instagram at The Guinea Pig Podcast, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Guinea Pig provides unbiased information to those who may be considering cosmetic surgery or even trialing a non-invasive treatment or product. We do not endorse the use of any product or procedure featured in this podcast and are not responsible for the outcome of any of the treatments featured on this podcast or damage caused in connection with any treatments or products. Should you decide to try any of the procedures, treatments or products mentioned in any episode of The Guinea Pig, you do so at your own risk. Always consult an independent and fully qualified medical professional if you are considering embarking on a medical procedure, irrespective of whether it's an invasive or non-invasive procedure.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.